since we finished 1 John, we've started Colossians verse by verse on Wednesday nights, as the Lord allows. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 is where we'll be at tonight. And we'll take a brief look at a pastor's heart. A brief look at a pastor's heart. I guess it was back in March, April, and even into May of last year that we looked at the qualifications for a pastor and an elder. And I think we got a lot of help from that, from going through that. And here tonight, we'll see some of those things, some of those qualities, we can say, and the man we'll look at tonight, the pastor at the Church of Colossae. So let's stand together one more time as we read the Word of God together. We'll start in verse 6 and we'll read down through verse 8. The Bible says in verse 6 of Colossians chapter 1, "Which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Father, we ask for help tonight, that we may hear and understand thy word. And Lord, help us to have a respect and a reverence for those whom you've called to pastor. Lord, that we would not put them on a pedestal above others, but Lord, that we would understand that you've placed them in these positions to feed your flock, which you purchased with your own blood. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we looked at Paul's prayer for the Colossians and his praise to the Lord for the progression of the Colossians in the gospel. They were growing in the gospel, and as verse 6 tells us, that it was bringing forth fruit in them as it does in all whom the gospel impacts. It is vitally important. It is heartbeat important that the church progresses in the gospel. We do not progress in the gospel, and I know we learned this last week, by or through feelings or emotions or experiences or entertainment. There's a lot of focus today on entertainment and experiences, emotions, and feelings. That you must leave feeling good, you must have some type of feeling when you hear. That is not progressing in the gospel. We progress in the gospel by growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now understand that God has given every believer the Holy Spirit. Amen? 1 John tells us that we all have unction because we all have the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. Every believer has unction. Every believer has is able to believe and understand the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of God because he is lost. But those of us who are saved, again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. Therefore, he gives us illumination of the Scriptures. Not special revelation, but illumination of the Scriptures. Now, I know we are so thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Without the Holy Spirit, we would not know. We would not understand. To aid in this progression in the gospel, God has also given his churches pastors and teachers. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. It's just two books back from Colossians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. I know these are scriptures that we have looked at often, and it's good to look at them often. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, here's why God has given these to his church. Of course, today we have evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Look at verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints." And stop right there and think about it for a second. For the perfecting of those who are imperfect. Who is that? That's all of us. Every one of us. We're imperfect. Amen? So this is not an easy job, is it? When you're dealing with people, guess what you get? You got problems. Why? Because we're people. And we all have problems. So the pastor's job, the teacher's job, is not necessarily an easy job. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work. That word work there, it means labor of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, we know this carries on until the day that we die. And until the day that Christ comes back and catches us away. Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, very important we do that, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, a pastor, according to Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 edition, is a minister of the gospel who has the charge of a church and congregation, whose duty is to watch over the people of his charge and instruct them in the sacred doctrines of the Christian religion. If there's one thing people cannot stand today, is to be watched, especially by their pastor or a pastor. Amen? Used to, pastors could show up at someone's home unannounced and it was okay. You show up at someone's home unannounced today and you may hear the click, click of the door, or you may hear the sic-em for the dog. Amen. We surely live in a different day and age from how it used to be. There's also a trend today to take away the position of authority of a pastor. Just a real quick example, and I'm not trying to lambast anyone, but people no longer call pastors and elders brother. Now they call them just by their name. What is that? That's like going up to my dad and saying, and calling him by his name and not saying yes, sir, and no, sir. That's disrespectful. Amen? So therefore, people no longer respect their elders. We understand that. They no longer respect the position of a pastor in a church. Not that they should be fearful of the pastor, but have a respect of what his job and his duty is. So today people just call him by the first name and let it go at that. And my personal opinion is that that is wrong. Amen. The pastor's duty is to watch over the people where God has placed him and to instruct the people in the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the word pastor is the spiritual guide of a particular church. The spiritual guide of a particular church. From this definition, we see the importance of a church having a pastor who loves the Lord and is in the ministry because God gave him that desire. Now, he's not in it for the money or for power or for prestige, but because God smote his heart, saved his soul, and has given him a desire to stand up and proclaim the Word of God and pastor a flock. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. In looking at qualifications to be an overseer, which is a bishop, an elder, a pastor, the Bible says this. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop. Now stop for a second. Who is sovereign? It is God. Who is it that turns every man's heart? It is God. Who is it that gives this man this desire? It is God. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, watch this. He desires a good, a a profitable work. This word work here, again, it means labor. And listen, folks, it is a labor. I know some people think pastors just eat fried chicken all day long and, I mean, breakfast, dinner, supper, go play golf during the day, got a certain tea time, and some pastors may do that. Amen? But understand that a pastor who loves the Lord and loves the flock, he will labor in the Word. Some pastors view local congregations as stepping stones. In other words, they say, I'll be here until something better comes along. And those who have this view use and abuse a congregation. Thank the Lord for pastors like Epaphras. And if I'm saying his name wrong, it'll be okay. Look at the end of verse 6. Since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Since the day they heard of the gospel. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 10 that, well, let's turn there. Romans chapter 10. It's very important that we go and proclaim the gospel. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says, right? Now look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So who is this old boy that we're looking at tonight? Epaphras. Well, he was the one who brought the gospel to the Colossians. He is the one, he is the vessel, he is the tool that God used to bring the gospel to this area of the world. He brought it, he preached it, he taught it, and now they are bringing forth fruit. Meat for repentance. So they heard of it. And they knew the grace of God and truth. This word new is to become fully acquainted with. We have already established this evening that the Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer. Therefore, we do not have to have someone teach us the Scriptures. Right? That's what the Bible says in 1 John. But it sure helps to have someone instruct us. Look in the book of Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. We'll start in verse 24. We could go to the book of Acts where the Ethiopian eunuch is going to the desert. And this old boy named Philip gets in a chariot with him. He says, do you understand what I read? And he said, how can I unless some man what? Amen. So here we see, now that was a lost man. The gospel being proclaimed to him. Here's a saved man. Watch here in Apollos in Acts 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, watch this, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. These were disciples discipling. Look at verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them, watch this, much which had believed through grace. So he was discipled. He was shown the way of God more perfectly. Now what's he doing? He's discipling others. He's showing them the way of God more perfectly. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, shewing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. We need to be discipled in the Word of God. Listen, folks, as much as possible. That's why it's so very important that in every service, the Word of God is proclaimed. Whether it's being taught, whether it's a devotion, whether it's preaching, it's so very important that the Word of God is broken down to us and that we feed upon the Word of God, that we are discipled. You know, I could stand up here, I could run around, I could shout, I could holler, hey, I've done it before. I could get y'all pumped up. I could be a great motivational speaker. And then you leave here not having been discipled, not one bit. That's not good, is it? And then what happens, after a while, you begin to hang on to every word that I'm saying, and then your faith is no longer in the Word of God, but it's in what the pastor says. And that leads to destruction. Look at verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. To learn is to learn and understand. You know, there are some things we can learn and just not understand it. We can do a quick walkthrough of some things and not grasp it. I know where we live out here in the country, there's most people in here, including the girls, hunt. Right? And we can tell and instruct people how to shoot a gun, but until they actually do it, they don't fully understand it, do they? It's important that we not just learn, but we learn and understand. Epaphras taught them the truth of the gospel. He taught it in a way so that they could understand it. He was not trying to teach over their heads, nor was he teaching down to them. And he taught them until they could understand it. You know, some people say, I don't want to hear the same thing I've already heard. That's dangerous. We learn by repetition. We learn by continually being in the Word of God. This takes patience. This takes commitment. Not just from the pastor, but also from the flock. To be taught until they can understand it. We learn in 1 John there are fathers in the faith, there are young men in the faith, and there are what? Babes in the faith. As the church grows, it will have all three groups of Christians in it. And we should never be ashamed to be a babe in Christ unless we've been saved for 10 years. Amen. But we all must grow. And as a church grows, all of these groups will be in it. And for a church to grow, it must have all these groups. Fathers, young men, and babes in Christ. There are those who need milk from the Scripture. There are those who can handle the meat of the Scripture. And it is part of the pastor's job to rightly divide the Word of truth and feed all the flock of God, not just a certain few. This is never-ending for a faithful pastor, whether he is pastoring many or few. So therefore, the pastor's job is never complete until the Lord takes him home, and then he can have rest. Amen. Evidently, Brother E here, Epaphras, was a hard worker. God had given him a drive and a love for the Lord's people. I want you to think about this. Trouble is brewing in the area around Colossae. He has traveled between 1,000 and 1,200 miles to go see a man that's in prison when he himself could also be imprisoned. They said, does he not have a drive and a desire for the flock that he's teaching and pastoring? He loves the flock. He's willing to spend and be spent for the flock. God used him to start three churches in the Lycus Valley, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. Starting a church takes a lot of footwork, a lot of groundwork. It takes all of God to start the church. Amen. Understand that I'm not trying to place this old boy up on a pedestal where he ought not be. But as we go verse by verse, we see something here about a pastor. And that we should look for and desire in pastors today and pray for. He was also considered by Paul and those of Paul's company to be a dear fellow servant. See that in verse 7? As you also learn of our dear fellow servant. Dear here is spoken of Christians as united with God or with each other in the bonds of holy love. These are those who were there with you through thick and through thin. And they become near to you. Like in a battle, the one who stands in the trenches with you and fights alongside you, a bond begins to grow there. A respect grows there. A love is growing there. These kinds of people will not leave you in the trenches. They will not tuck tail and run. Paul says he was also a fellow servant. Now, let me clarify this here. We understand that God is using Paul to write this letter. But who is the author? It is God. So who is actually saying this about this old boy? It is God. He was a fellow servant. This means he was a co-slave. He was a fellow slave, a fellow minister, serving the same master as Paul and others, other Christians. This is spoken of those in voluntary service, of Christians serving Christ together. Let me say it is a blessing to have others in the ministry that you know you can count on. Those who have been through some of the same struggles and same victories, and through it all, keep their focus on Jesus Christ. I am blessed that I'm able to talk to quite a few different pastors on a regular basis, it seems like. And we do confide in one another in some areas. And one area I can share with you is that many of these pastors have problems with people in the church being faithful. Not just people who come and sit on the pew, but teachers, those in authority in the church, and how this breaks their heart, and I can understand. Because I can remember whenever this church was at that same place. But the Lord has truly blessed this church, this local congregation. Amen? And given this church teachers that love Him and that love the people and want to teach and are faithful. What a blessing. Thank the Lord. Let me say this about pastors, also about teachers. Work ethic. Work ethics are very important in pastoring. Pastoring is not for a lazy man. If you remember 1 Timothy, the Bible says, this man desireth a good, a profitable work. This word work means, again, labor. Solomon tells us that it is a weary to the flesh to do what? Study. Can anybody say amen? Some of us can pick up a hunting magazine and read it from front to back and not yawn one time. Pick up your Bible and you... I need some coffee. Flesh don't like it, does it? Pastoring is not for a lazy man. Pastoring is not for a man who procrastinates. A man who is faithful to the Lord through the good times and the hard times will also be faithful to the flock of God. At the end of verse 7, the Word of God says this, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. He was faithful for the Colossians. He is the man that God has raised up for them at that time. He is a faithful minister of Christ. He was not looking at the church down the road wishing to be like them. No, he was doing exactly what God would have him do. He was faithful with whom the Lord had placed him and what the Lord had given him. Faithful is to be faithful in the performance of duty. A minister is a Christian teacher and pastor. A servant of the people. The pastor should not stand on the pulpit saying, you serve me. Christ says, he who is greatest, let him be what? The least. Christ also gave us an example to do what? Be servants. Since Epaphras had been faithful in the ministry, faithful in laboring, he is worthy of trust. He is worthy of belief. He is worthy of confidence. He has earned this by his faithful service to the Lord and to the flock. He has been consistent, no doubt. We see this in his teaching of the Scriptures. What grows the church? Again, we looked at it a while ago. What grows the church? What grows you and I? What causes you and I to be strong in the faith? The Word of God. Not feelings, not, listen, trials, this may sound crazy, but trials do not strengthen our faith. How is our faith strengthened? By what? The Word of God. And then as we go through those trials, we see more of the Word of God. Trials is a tool that God uses, but our faith is strengthened through the Word. Epaphras here is not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Therefore, the congregation is not either. So what does a faithful minister do? Well, he depends on the Lord. He is not dependent upon his own strength, nor is he dependent upon his own fleshly wisdom. You know, we're bad about that. Trying to figure things out on our own. Trying to decipher things, saying, surely this is how the Lord would have us do it. It's important to know that we are weak. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10, Solomon says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? This was early in his life. He asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. Why did he ask for wisdom? Because he understood that he didn't have the wisdom of himself to pastor God's people. The pastor also brings the Word of God to remembrance, and he preaches and teaches wholesome food for the flock to eat. Every time you come, he doesn't give you double stuffed Oreos with milk. Now, he may give you some of that. It's good stuff, amen? But you can't live off of it. It'll kill you after a while. You'll die from it. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up, watch that word nourished, in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attain. The word nourished in this verse means to educate. Wow. Did I get that? What's it mean? To do what? Educate. A faithful minister educates the flock in the Word of God so that the flock will grow. Again, this means their faith will be in the Word of God, not his own opinion, so on and so forth. To resort to games, to gimmicks, to manipulation, to emotionalism, proves he is lazy and doesn't have sheep's food for the sheep. Sometimes, well, in reading behind a commentator, he spoke of pastors who have not been in the Word often will substitute action and entertainment for the Word, in place of the Word. And that's not wholesome teaching. That's not nourishing, that's not educating the flock. You know, when we come here, we should be educated. We should grow. I mean, every service, so important. Y'all had a Bible study last night. The ladies did, at 6:30, right? Did y'all come in and tell a bunch of jokes, gossip about your husbands, complain about your kids? Was it an AA meeting for women? No. What'd y'all do? Y'all learned about worship, right? In other words, y'all were educated. So very important that we come together, and every time we come together, that we proclaim, that we bring the Word. It's important that the pastor first feeds upon the Word of God before he brings it. Because if not, he won't know what he's talking about. And this takes time and labor. I laugh at people who just think that the preachers get up and they spend 10 to 15 minutes of time in the morning, about 8:30, right before Sunday school, and they find out what they're going to preach. That may be how it is for some preachers, but not for this one. Maybe I'm just kind of dumb. I don't know, but it takes me time. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn tonight. Don't take that the wrong way. But for a man of God to get in the Word of God, there was a man who pastored First Baptist of Dallas, Texas, for years. He wrote some books. He had a routine. His routine was that during the week, he would not come out of his study until 11 o'clock in the morning. That don't mean he just got up. He got up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. He would not come out of his study until 11 o'clock. He wouldn't even change his clothes to go anywhere. Let me ask you this. How many of y'all, when you get up in the mornings and you put your clothes on, your boots on, what's the next thing you're going to do? I'm going outside. Amen? So what this man did, he purposed in himself, he labored in this area against his flesh to stay in the Word. And do you know what it did? He fed the flock. He fed the flock. The Word of God. This takes time and labor. We need more people like this today. There is so much emphasis placed on success in the eyes of men that pastors often forget that we are to be faithful to the Lord and to the flock over the which He hath placed us. And we are to feed His sheep, and feed His sheep. Success is being obedient to the Lord. We need pastors who will stay in the fight and fight where God has placed them. So many pastors took tail and run today. John Calvin said this, "For this life is a post at which the Lord has placed us, and we must stay at it until the Lord calls us away." That's not just for pastors, that's for you and I. Verse 8 of Colossians 1, "Who also declare unto us your love in the Spirit." Epaphras spoke well of the Colossians. He could do this honestly without lying. The church at Colossae, though made up of people, not a perfect church, was a church going in the right direction. And though they were under attack by heresies, he did not run them down. Their pastor loved them, and understand, it was a joy for him to be their pastor. He was not about to abandon them for what may have appeared to be bigger and better or less stressful. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." He was able to pastor the churches at Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea with joy. You know, even if things are not going good, the pastor should never run the flock down. And he should never turn and tuck tail and run as a coward. So we all have this tendency that when things are going good, we're all happy. But as soon as the pressure gets put on, as soon as opposition begins to come, what do we want to do? We want to quit. How many of y'all have ever quit a job because you got mad? How many of you ever quit a job because you just didn't think it was right, couldn't take the pressure? And when you first got the job, you was happy, you was excited, things were going good. And then one thing goes wrong and you quit, or was ready to quit. You know, that's how most of us are. Most of us are. We tend to be that way. And if we're not careful, we take that into the ministry. How many people have quit church because they got their feelings hurt? We ought to be in it for the Lord. There should be such a relationship between the pastor and the congregation that each, watch this, is willing to give themselves for the other. You know, well, this takes time. This takes time. This takes much time. This takes possibly many trials that all of the church goes through. And those who remain in the trenches, you are willing to fight for them. Epaphras loves the churches in the Lycus Valley. He wants to protect them from error. That's why he has traveled the distance that he has to Rome to speak with Paul. He wants to see them grow in the faith and become dangerously strong for the faith. Epaphras is a faithful minister of Christ. I'm not sure about you. I'm sure you are too, but I'm so glad that God has given his churches pastors. Amen. I've been instructed by pastors. How about y'all? I'm still being instructed by pastors. And I will be until the day I die. The day I stop being instructed by pastors is the day I'm in trouble. I think about my mom and dad, and I'm their pastor. That's kind of odd. Amen? But when they see me behind this pulpit preaching and teaching the Word of God, and when I'm preaching and teaching the Word of God, you've got to put that to the side. They must be instructed by the Word. Amen. Some of you have known me since way before I was saved. Since way before the Lord saved me, I should say. You can't look and say, that's the old Jimmy, because this ain't the old Jimmy. Amen. This is Brother Jimmy. He's the brother. He's a brother because of the sovereign grace of God. The transforming power of Christ. And the Lord has given him a desire to pastor this church. Something else we've learned from the book of Acts about the Bereans is that what the pastor teaches and preaches, we should go home and study. Make sure he's preaching and teaching the truth. Are we all prone to mess up? I promise you we are. You know, I've said Epaphras' name tonight three different ways. And I probably still hadn't got it right. Amen. But he was a faithful minister of Christ. Thank God for pastors. Amen. Let's pray.